Psalm 23 is the most famous psalm. Everyone has heard it, knows it, probably heard it at a funeral or possibly in church. It's a great comfort. I think the Old Testament, Psalm 23, would be the most comforting passage. For me, John chapter 14 in the New Testament would be the one in the New Testament that I would go to for comfort. Psalm 23, if you will, is a very deep vein of gold in your Bible that there is no chance that you would ever dig it all out. And so we are going to dig into it this morning if we can, see what the Lord has for us. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we read the 23rd Psalm. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful group of people that has chosen to be in your house this morning. I know that you will meet here with us. You have through the singing, through the fellowship, shaking of hands, and seeing one another. And now we open your word, this gift that you have given us that we want to study and apply to our lives. And so I pray that we leave here being blessed from your word and hopefully better than we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. David is the author. He was the Lord's shepherd, the second king of Israel, Israel's greatest king. There will come a time when the Lord comes back, when David will once again rule in Israel. He promised that he would forever, and that will take place. And obviously, David was a shepherd, and he tells the Psalm 23rd from the view of a shepherd. And he lists the assets. That he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, that's kind of a brag, if you will, like Paul Griffin is my dad. And if Paul Griffin was somebody, that would be quite a thing. But he's just a guy like you and I are. It would be impressive if I could say, "Donald Trump is my dad." But he's not. But obviously, that's a recognizable name. Well, I'll tell you what, pretty hard to trump, if you will, God Almighty when you say the Lord is my shepherd. And that's what David was saying. And so he goes on and he makes a statement. He lists the assets. So I have in my possession, you've all seen a 1976 Lincoln Continental Town Car, sits in my garage. And in that day, you could find out, and they still do this, they list all the assets that come with that vehicle. 460, 4V. I always wondered what the V was for. It should be, I always thought as a kid it should say 4B for 4 barrel, but it's 4V for 4 Venturi. Just thought you'd like to know. Six-way seats, intermittent wipers, air conditioning with climate control. Got a compass on the window, vinyl roof, radial tires, cruise control, power windows, power door locks. In 1976, folks, this was something. The real selling point on this baby, though, is AM FM 8-track. I'm telling you, you know, they're bringing back vinyl records, and everybody's got their, you know, and I have a few vinyl records myself, and we have a record player. You had to go out and buy one because we'd all thrown ours out and all that. So they're coming back to vinyl. I think they should come back to 8-track, you know. That's where it's at. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he provides, David gives the list, green pastures, still waters, soul restoration. Leadership, companionship, tools of security. He prepares blessings for a victorious life. He's blessed. I get goodness and mercy, and it ends with eternal life. Now, that is an impressive list of things that the Christian can have, that you and I can have, when we make the Lord our shepherd. Now, obviously, there's no way we could cover all of those things this morning, so being a Baptist preacher, I always pick out three. So we'll look at three of those things this morning. In verse number 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse number 3, he restoreth my soul. Say that with me. He restoreth my soul. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. C.S. Lewis says, you don't have a soul, you are a soul. An old hymn we used to sing. We don't sing the hymns like we used to anymore. Times change, but there's some. Boy, you ought to have a good hymn book in your home. If nothing else, just to read the lyrics of some of the songs. And the old song, we call it the IH here in this church, inspirational hymn book. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and despair, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. And the chorus goes, I'll tell you what the chorus is. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wide stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. He restoreth my soul. Your soul is who you are. Now, you're probably tired of my garage stories, and sorry, but, you know, if you came in the old days, we'd have a parking lot full of cars, and they'd all be out there, and someone would say, well, what's wrong with this Chevrolet? And we'd say, it needs a motor. And then they'd say, what's wrong with this Chevrolet? And we'd say, it needs a transmission. See, so you can tell, you love this, don't you, Pete? Huh? No. But if the yard was full of cars, we could point to every one of them, and we knew what was wrong and what needed to be fixed. Now, it doesn't mean they were fixed yet, but they were on the docket, and we would bring them in, and if it needed a rack and pin, you know, whatever, a new Ford Venturi carburetor, whatever, you'd put it on there because you knew what it needed. Now, you and I are here this morning, and we can see our bodies, and you can go to a doctor. Talked to a lady this morning, had a new knee replacement, had knee put in. My father-in-law's got a new knee up there, and I'm sure that it'll help his golf swing and all of those things that he just sold. And although when it comes to the body, a lot of times we can recognize what the body needs, and sometimes we have the ability to fix that, sometimes we do not. But the reality of it is, what we see that the body needs is not nearly as important as what the soul needs. What we need on the inside that only you and God know, and sometimes only God knows. You know something's missing in your life, and you wish you could get it fixed, but you're not sure what that is. But I'll tell you what, God Almighty knows what you need. My life verse is, bodily exercise profiteth little. It's my life verse, okay? Now, you know I'm joking, but the Bible does say bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, it doesn't mean there's no profit in it. We know that there is. We have people here that will teach you how to work out and things that are very beneficial. But by comparison, we get all tied up in the body. God's concerned about your soul. God's concerned about who you are. And he specializes in restoring the soul. That's very good. And it's very important. Psalm 107, if you get your Bible, you're in Psalm 23. If you're using a pew Bible, it's on page 652. But just go over to Psalm 107 as we consider the soul. Psalm 107 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. I'd like to say that passage, really, what it means is, and not to change the word of God, their soul fainteth in them. They had basically lost all hope. They're wandering around, can't figure out what they're going to do. We're talking about the people of Israel. And I want you to know, if you've lost hope this morning, what you need, whether you realize it or not, is you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to get to know God Almighty. And that's what the Israelite people needed. And then they cried unto the Lord in verse 6, in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way that they might go into a city of habitation. Verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that verse is said again in verse 15 and verse 21, verse 31, just over and over. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, Baptists, if we're not good at one thing, we're not good at praising the Lord. We ought to be more thankful when we think about all that he's done for us and his goodness to us and the wonderful life that we get to live in the United States of America. Now, it doesn't mean we're not without problems. We'll talk about that. Then if you go on, verse 9, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. We'll talk about the shadow of death being found in the affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Question for you this morning. Anybody rebelling against the words of God in the United States at all? Yeah, you're laughing because we know how ridiculous it is that how America at times will just thumb their nose at God. Sad to say, some folks that call themselves Christians at times will do the same thing. And it leads to trouble. Verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought them down. Their heart with labor, and they fell down, and there was none to help. I'm telling you what, if God puts you down, only God can bring you up. Nobody else can help you. You can join associations, you can go to meetings, you can do all kinds of things, but I'll tell you what, the only one that can truly lift you up is God Almighty. Lastly, then they cried unto the Lord in verse 13 in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He restoreth my soul. Hard times at times are there to get your attention. It happens. He leads me. He restores my soul. Number two, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Say that with me. For his name's sake. God's watch care equals our welfare. God's watch care equals our welfare. We're attracted to, we notice certain things. Businesses or relationships that are long lasting where people take care of one another. We're attracted to a couple married 50-plus years. Because I'll tell you, that doesn't happen just because they special things took place. They watched out for each other. We honor longevity. We honor longevity in employment. You find out that this is a company that, you know, that nobody gets done here. People just stay. If you're looking to work your way up and you say, well, I don't know if I want to stay because the next place that I want to be in, the job that I want in the corporation, that guy's been there for 15 years. He's not going anywhere, and there's no upward place to go because that company takes such good care of its employees, nobody wants to leave. That's impressive. That's impressive when you're not just a number. You and I are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. How we walk, talk, work, act, look, all of that stuff reflects what people think of Christians. Don't miss that. You and I are a walking testimony on whether someone else wants to be a Christian. People look at you and they think, if that's what Christians are, you fill in the blank. I want to be one. I don't want to be one. But you and I, as you've heard it over and over, the only Jesus they'll ever see. How we look, how we act, how we treat one another. How our homes are, how our marriages are, how our kids are. I'm not trying to put any pressure on you. I've seen pastors really mess up their house when all they want to do is say to their kids, now you do this because everybody's watching. You do this because we can't do that. I'm the pastor of a church and we can't do that. I've never had that conversation with my kids. I don't want to ruin them. They are PKs. I can't stop that. They are my kids. But I have never said to them, you need to wear this outfit because you're going to be in church today and people need to. You're the pastor's kid. They don't need that pressure. Having said that, when you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you remember you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We represent the gospel. And I think that takes a certain amount of distinction that I'm not going to put on airs or be a fake, but being real for Jesus, I'm hoping attracts others to Jesus, because all eternity in hell is waiting, and that ought to concern us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's the deal. When I meet a really good young person, child, 10-year-old, 9-year-old, 8-year-old, 12-year-old, you fill in the blank. I develop a thought process about the parents, whether they know it or not. And so do you. When my kids are misbehaving, I look right at them and say, you need a mother. My wife will tell you, I do say that, you know. Couldn't be my fault. Must be their mother, you know. The reality of it is, if you're raising a brat, then chances are mom and dad's missing. I'm saying all that to say this, is that people make a direct connection. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, your heavenly Father, which is in heaven. You and I are a direct reflection on God Almighty. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because his name matters. All right, I grew up in a home. My father would look at me and say, listen, your last name's Griffin. You don't besmirch the name. He didn't use the word besmirch. But he did say, you represent that name. When you leave this house, you're a Griffin. And I'll tell you what, I believe in that. Used to be the old days, people got a newspaper. Nobody gets a paper anymore. Maybe you do, but it's a pretty rare thing. We used to get up Police Beat. You ever remember reading Police Beat? I'll tell you what, if there was a Griffin in the Police Beat, they didn't have to worry about the police. They had to worry about the rest of the Griffins. You didn't do that. You know? Well, you know what, Christian? Your name is representing God Almighty for his name's sake. I'll tell you what, I take seriously not the calling of being a pastor of this church, now, of course, I take seriously being a husband and a father, but I take very seriously the fact that I am a Christian and I represent Jesus Christ, and I want him to be pleased with me. I want him to be pleased with me. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Name means something. You and I are a direct reflection on what God looks like. A movie review of The Golden Compass came out a few years ago. It was a controversial movie. I'm not getting into that. But the author, Philip Pullman, talked about his attitudes towards God. And this is the quote. If there is a God and he is the Christian, as the Christians describe him, then he deserves to be put down and rebelled against. Ooh, I'll read that again because I can see you're shocked. If there is a God, so he's questioning whether there even is one, and he is as the Christians describe him, then he deserves to be put down and rebelled against. Now, obviously, that guy has issues. But in his defense, we tend to send out a pretty messed up message about what we're supposed to look like, what God really is. And I want you to know, this is going out on the tape, we send it out, God Almighty, there is no error in him. He is incapable of being wrong. He is perfect love. He has never done Stan Griffin wrong. If I have misrepresented how wonderful he is, I want to publicly apologize, because he is worth everything that every one of us ever have to offer without reservation. I absolutely love him. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul. And the other thing, the thing that we'll finish on and it reflects on all of us and we've all thought of is, yea, though I walk through the valley. And he lists the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why is that, David? Why are you not afraid? Because he says a couple of things about what God Almighty, his shepherd, does for him. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God has the equipment to take care of you. I grew up in a home. Allow me to take just a couple of minutes to talk about being a man. There seems to be some idea now that being a man is a bad thing, and we're scared of men, male masculinity. That's not a word that I had to look it up to see what it meant, but the idea that a man being strong and unafraid and willing to fight for something, for some reason, seems to be a bad idea now. Well, I want you to know that's a lie right out of the pit of hell. The world will always need men to stand against evil. And guys, don't you apologize for being a man. And if some woman doesn't appreciate you being a man, then she needs to learn how to be a woman. Oh, how dangerous is that? But you know what? Most of the people I know and you know have no problem with that conversation. But somehow the liberal media and a bunch of people out there and the Christian and the educators in our public schools want to change what we believe about manhood, male and female. They're trying to make this androgynous lifestyle where there's no difference between men and women. And that is a lie right out of the pit of hell. God made male and female, and we each have our role. Having said that, I grew up in a home where my dad was a man, and he didn't apologize for that. And he let us know that if trouble came into the house, Dad was going to protect us. And I went to bed at night, and I slept great because Paul Griffin had a loaded gun beside his bed. Matter of fact, Paul Griffin's got a loaded gun in every corner of the house. Someone came to his house one time, looked at the gun, and they said, wow, is that loaded? Dad said, well, it wouldn't be much good if it wasn't. That's how we were raised. And I got a loaded gun in every corner of my house, too. Okay, and I know that's not popular, but that's who I am. I'm saying that because we're not worried about whether someone can come to help us if trouble comes. Men are unafraid. Now, they may be afraid, but they're prepared. Does that make sense? My God's prepared. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was the weapon. It was the club. There's no guns back there. Today, we would say, thy M16 comforts me. You know, or whatever, however you want to fill the blank in. I'll tell you, I get great comfort knowing that beside my bed, on my side of the bed is a 45 and a 9mm. On Emily's side of the bed is a 9mm. It's just the way it is. You know, that's normal for us. Now, if it's not for you, that's fine, but whatever. Thy rod comforts me. And thy staff was the one that you walked around and had the hook in it. What was that for? Is to reach down and grab you and help you if you were in trouble. He had the instruments of a shepherd to take care of whatever the sheep needed. And I want you to know your Heavenly Father has the instruments to take care of whatever it is that you need. And you can get great comfort from him. Because listen to me, you will go through a valley. Yay. Yay is another word for yes. Yes, though I go through a valley. There are folks here this morning going through a valley. It's possible you're looking death in the eye. And I've always said, and I firmly believe, death is the greatest test for the Christian, not life. Death is the greatest test for the Christian. Because when you get ready to leave this world, and you're looking to cross over, and I've talked to Christian after Christian after Christian after Christian. I've been at many deathbeds. And it is normal to face a certain amount of uncertainty because we know what we believe. But now we're really going to find out. Isn't that true? And it's a test. But I can promise you, Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear any evil because God is with you. And I just want to comfort you this morning, not from words that I can say, but words that God Almighty says that I've got what you need. You don't need to fear. We take prayer requests in Mark's Sunday School class. I get emails. Some you see, some of them you don't see. Folks text me. I'm fine with all of that. There's never a week that goes by, ever, that I don't get bad news. It just goes with the territory. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you. And the fact of the matter is, none of you are pastors either, but I'll bet you, you don't have a week go by that you don't get bad news. We live in a sinful world, and I'm, as a pastor, what is going on? What is this? And you think, Lord, what are you doing? Can't we just have a week off? And sometimes we do get a week off. But for the most part, this church never gets a week off. As a body, there's always somebody hurting. We know when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. Stub your toe lately? They said the pinky toe. God put there to rearrange furniture. Makes sense to me. All I'm saying is, if you're not hurting now, you were or you will be. I heard a preacher say a while ago, you having a good day? That's a temporary situation. I'm not trying to depress you. I'm just saying this life will hand us things we have no answers for, but yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear it because God is with you. Or you don't have to believe that at all, and you can try it on your own. Don't. I choose Jesus. I choose a relationship with him. He's awesome. If we've told you anything different, we were wrong. We are sorry. Get this. He is the shepherd that you need. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time this morning. The hour goes by so quickly. Lord, I don't know what people need this morning. I can't tell, but you can. You made them. You know them. You've got the owner's manual all written, and you know exactly where they are at. So, Lord Jesus, I ask you to work on the soul this morning. Physicians can work on the body, and you can certainly heal the body, and we certainly ask for healing. But our greatest need is that our soul would prosper, that we'd have a relationship with you, that everybody here knows you as their personal Savior, and at some point in their life has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive my sins. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around this morning. Perhaps you've never trusted the Good Shepherd. Perhaps you've never prayed and asked him to be your Savior, and we want to give you a chance to do that this morning. We'll say a prayer together, every one of us quietly, but we'll all say it out loud. It'll be something like this. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. We'll say thank you for hearing my prayer. We've prayed that prayer over and over here, and over the 25 years, hundreds of people have prayed that prayer and trusted Christ as their Savior. And they've, if they're no longer with us, they've gone on to eternity in heaven. But if you've never said those words, if you leave this life, you will not go to heaven. Because Jesus said he is the only way. So if you're here this morning, you're willing to say those words and mix them with faith and pray them with us, then let's do that this morning very quietly. Let's all pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer.